Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to this very special Palm Sunday, a Sunday where we come together to, as the people of God, to cry and shout out in praise, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of David. A Sunday where it's so pertinent, so relevant to our lives in this last 12 months of lockdown, shouting together, Hosanna, God saves, Lord saves us. How important, how relevant that is, that shout of praise this morning for God's people, especially as we think and reflect of a week that is very challenging, not only in our Christian calendar, but it was in the life of Jesus, of his disciples, of a very tumultuous week leading to the cross, leading to the empty tomb. And so this morning I would like to start our time together on this Palm Sunday with a psalm of praise, a psalm that was used as a procedures, as a psalm of walking towards Jerusalem into bringing glory to God. Psalm 118, the latter part of it says, O Lord, save us. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. That's how it's translated. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. We bless you. The Lord is God. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And he has made his light shine upon us. You are my God, O Lord, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Those are the psalm, the procession psalm to Jerusalem that was preparing the triumphant entry of the king, or whoever he was to be the king of that day. It is today an echo of that psalm that we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Let's make this Sunday, let's make this week that comes with this tumultuous activity be a week of reflection, of coming closer to God. Remember, we have those challenges for the week, Easter challenge, and today is one to start with praise. And this is what we want to do in our service. We want to bring Hosanna, God saves us, in our midst, in our communities, in our church, in our fellowship, in everything that we do. We want to bring praise to God. Remember, the challenge starts today and it will end next Sunday morning. Go through it day by day. Tomorrow we're going to reflect on Mary, then on Jesus and the seed that was planted in people's lives, then on Judas, then on the washing of feet. And that reminds me that we're going to have a service on Monday, Thursday at 7 p.m. and then on Good Friday, 10:30. And of course, next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, 10:30 again. So 7 p.m., 10:30, 10:30. Let us pray together as we commend this service and the rest of the week into God's hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege that we have today to shout out loud, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. You are our Messiah. You are the one who went to the cross, who suffered, died on it, and you are the one who raised up victoriously, triumphantly, conquering death, giving us hope, peace, forgiveness. We sing Hosanna today. We worship you from the bottom of our hearts, through our spirits, with open lives before you, saying Hosanna to the King of Kings. We worship you. Lord, may we make this week a triumphant entry into an intimate relationship with you. May we find ourselves being blessed by your presence, having peace through your Holy Spirit, and experience forgiveness anew and afresh in our lives. Lord, we cry out to you, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Let our praises rise. Let our worship be pleasant before your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so the harpers are going to lead us again into a wonderful song. Hosanna, praise is rising. Sing that wherever you are, in your bedroom, in your lounge, wherever the home where you find yourself. Let's bring all praise to the Lord. Hosanna, the King of Kings. Hosanna, come Lord Jesus and save us. Again, how we need that cry of prayer, that shout of praise at the same time, to be lifted up from his people today in still very challenging times that we live and we go through. So this morning the passage is taken from John chapter 12. It's a key passage, is at the center of the challenge that you and I have got. There is the challenge for this week. That is the challenge that we sent out over a week ago. And everything revolves around this passage. Everything that goes before it, everything that goes after it, is all about the Easter challenge that you and I have to reflect on day by day. And this is where everything comes right as the focus of that challenge today as such. And Kirsty is going to do the reading from John 12, beginning with verse 12, the triumphal entry.
The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
Thank you, Kirsty. And that's the passage, the key, the central passage of our challenge for this Easter week coming, this wonderful triumphant entry. And rather than me trying to preach for 20 minutes or whatever on this Palm Sunday, I'm going to share snippets and small little extracts of this incredible challenge of Easter that we have this week. So I'd like to start with a reflective thought this morning, looking at what happens in this John chapter 12. You might want to have your Bible with you, open there, and just turn the passages I go through. You might want to have your lovely things to fill in from Debbie, or you might just want to have a notebook with you and write some notes down. And it's interesting how this triumphal entry happens just before Mary anoints Jesus. She is in this incredible, they find themselves at the homes of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. They find themselves there, and Mary just comes in, and her instinct of serving, of loving Jesus, she just pours out a very expensive perfume as a sign of her love, of her anointing to Jesus. And I think I said this to you before, that she spreads this all over Jesus' feet, and then she wipes her Jesus' feet with her hair, a symbol and a sign of intimacy with the Lord. No woman was allowed to untie her hair unless with her husband. So she shows her love, she shows her incredible devotion and full surrender in worship to the King of Kings. It's incredible story. It's a very moving story. I find that a very powerful story. And if you look throughout the beginning of this chapter 12, is that first of all, Mary, her act of anointing Jesus there with that perfume was very intentional, not impetuous. She has, the scripture tells us that she, it was intended in verse 7. And she saved this for a while. She had kept this. In other words, this was something she had intended to do for a long, long time. It wasn't just a spur of the moment. It wasn't just because it was she was led by the emotions or whatever. It was well planned. And she wanted to do this for a long time to come with her whole heart before the Lord and show him how much she loves him. There is a second reason in this. She says that there is a purpose in doing this. And she actually says, it was for the day of my burial, Jesus says. She kept this for the day of my burial. She was intended to be Jesus for anointing him after he was died. Yet she does it while he was still alive. Again, a sign of an incredible courage, boldness, but also of her love for her living Savior there and then. And then he says, Jesus said that her gift would be remembered all over the world until the end of time. Wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, this shall be spoken as a memorial, as a remembrance of her incredible love, of her incredible devotion. This is what you have to reflect on tomorrow in the Easter challenge, looking at Mary and her devotion to Jesus. It was intentional. It had a purpose in whatever she did in her worship and praise about Jesus. It was an incredible, incredible gift that she brought as a witness before Jesus and, of course, the other disciples. I wonder how we're going to start this week, how we are going to bring our lives into the Easter, into the Passion Week, into the Holy Week before the Lord. We start this morning with Hosanna and praise. Tomorrow leads to this reflective thought on Mary. What will you bring before him? How will you be encouraged to bring your life, open your heart to Him in these very challenging times? Of those who suffer a fresh wound of losing someone, those who struggling financially, those who struggle physically and mentally, how would you come before Him? What would you pour before Him in worship, in adoration, in praise? This is the challenge for us. We'll sing another song this morning as it will lead us into another character that is so misunderstood or even missed totally in this passage. Ride on, ride on in majesty. And the harpers are going to lead us into worship again. Thank you very much. As I said, this passage is full of characters. The whole drama displays a lot of roles in which people play different or take part in different ways as such. We look at Mary. Then after that comes Judas. Judas, when he hears that Mary is completely pouring her love towards the Lord in such a display act of kindness, and for him this is a waste of the anointment of the wonderful oil that could have, he thinks, could have been sold and get the money and give them to the poor. How one of us will think of, some of us will be thinking that, well, how missional thinking he Judah is in all of this, you know, to have that money, you know, thousands of thousands of denarius or pounds or whatever, to be spent for the poor rather than just on somebody's feet to be washed. But that was not his intention in the heart, and Jesus knows that. Then you have not only Judas, on which you will reflect, I think, on Wednesday, and his character on this challenge Easter week, but also you have great crowds that were attracted, who followed Jesus because they saw the resurrection of Lazarus, who saw the miracles and so on. But there's also in this story someone who is very underestimated, I guess. And that's, it says in verse 14 that Jesus found a young donkey. No jokes here whatsoever. A very young donkey. Now, this is the animal that Jesus rode on into Jerusalem as opposed to a stallion. He came into a very humble animal, sometimes very, very stubborn animal. But I'd like to reflect on that with you as we go into the Holy Week, into this Easter week, and how you and I would love to carry the Savior of the world into our hearts, to carry him throughout the week into the gates of a city who needs encouragement, who needs love, who needs forgiveness, who needs to hear the good news of Hosanna, Hosanna, King of David, King of Kings. Then you have the disciples. The disciples says in verse 16, at first his disciples did not understand all this stuff. They were so confused because they, like everybody else, they expected the King of Kings to come on a stallion to go and take his place in a lovely palace and reign as King David reigned, bringing peace and justice and milk flowing and honey plenty in the whole land, and defeat the enemies and all the others. The disciples did not understand all this stuff. It's only later that we are told that they understood after the resurrection what Jesus's Hosanna, Hosanna meant, what his triumphal entry was all about, what the cross was indeed all about. Then you have some other people, like the Pharisees, who did not want to understand this, were marveled by this, and they didn't really want to engage with it whatsoever, because they knew and they were threatened by this new King of Kings. Before we move into the next section of this passage that I want to reflect with you this morning, I'd like us to pause for a minute or two and bring some prayers of intercession before the Lord during this week, during this time. So let me just lead those prayers this morning as we remain quiet for a moment, and then I will continue to pray. Let us just be silent and still for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask that through your Holy Spirit, you will continue to reveal yourself to your people, to the church, to fellowships, to people who follow you close or at a distance, people who are crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, or crucify him, crucify him. We come to pray to a God who is merciful, compassionate, and full, full of grace. We come before a God who is in heaven, yet has chosen to live in the hearts of his people. We come with our requests, as we come with our praise. We come with joy as we come with sorrow. We come to acknowledge your majesty, your beauty, your splendor, as also to confess our sins, our disobedience. We come to acknowledge that you are the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, our God and friend. You are the Messiah, the Christ. But we also come to bring our own world with its fears, with its poverty, with its pain. Father, we pray for those who are struggling. We pray for those who are working in hospitals and schools, in challenging places, for our key workers in this country and throughout the world, for those who are affected by the pandemic, for those who lost a loved one, We pray for your peace, love and mercy into their homes and lives. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be at work in our country, in our government, in our politicians, in the world at large. We pray for wisdom to our doctors and for strength to our nurses. We pray for those who will continue to serve you in churches, in communities, at the places where they work, in universities, in on the buses, in classrooms. Lord, we pray for your strength at this time. For our fellowship, for the people who suffer, who are lonely, who are struggling mentally or physically, for those who are in hospital, Lord, we ask your mercy. We pray that as we journey together through this Holy Week, may your Holy Spirit reveal something of your beauty, of your grace and majesty day by day in our lives. May we know that every morning, every afternoon, and every evening. May we feel and experience the love of Christ. As we reflect on the Easter challenge in our lives, day by day. Hosanna, we cry today. Lord, have mercy. Crucify, crucify. We shouted on a Good Friday. Lord, forgive us. Yet, on an Easter Sunday, we will shout, He is risen, alleluia. Praise be to our God, the Saviour of the world. Praise be to our God. Amen. And so, as I like to close this morning, I'd like to reflect with you on another kind of group of people that were gathered there. And in John 12, it says like this in verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. We would like to see Jesus. As you can see, there are different characters, different people in this incredible story on that Palm Sunday. A lot of happenings, a lot of things that just pile together. But at the end comes this group of people called the Greeks. For the first time, non-Israelites, people who do not belong in this close circle of the Jewish people, are taking part into this procession, which is about the King of Kings, shouting together, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. And all they wanted to do was just one thing only. They wanted to see Jesus. I hope and pray that you this week, you will want to see Jesus. You will want to meet with him new and afresh, that you will allow him to speak to your heart as you journey to the Holy Week, from today to the Easter Sunday. Let that be your prayer whenever you get up, whenever you get the chance, the last time to sit down or in the evening before you go to bed. Ask God the Father to show you Jesus, just like the Greeks. Ask him to show his love and to open his heart to you into a new revelation of his love for you individually, for you as a person. And so there are few things here that happen in John 12. They are key to understanding this Easter challenge for us. Jesus being anointed by Mary is one of them, is crucial. Then Jesus entering into Jerusalem on a donkey, it's vital. And then you have these Greeks looking for Jesus. And those things alongside the others in the story, the misunderstanding and of the disciples, the query of Judah, the Iscariot, and many other things that happen here, make Jesus almost cry and shout out in the next verse. And he says this in verse 23, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The Greeks' arrival, the cross being in sight, and the empty tomb beyond that, made Jesus to exclaim, "The time now for me has come. The time for me has come to go towards that cross and to reveal God's love from an empty tomb." So he is glorified by the door of heaven being open to all men. And then he is glorified by everyone who is saved. And finally, he is glorified when we who are saved, his disciples, allow our salvation to make a difference in the way we live our lives. So our goal and the intent of our lives ought to be demonstrated in the love of Jesus in very practical terms. That's why the Easter challenge is for us. Thank you to those of you who sent pictures or whatever you sent or messages for the Easter challenge. You still got that to do by the end of the day. Thank you to all of you who've taken flowers or cakes or a meal cooked, to all the people in our fellowship and beyond, to your neighbors. This is the time when Christ shouted, "Is the time for me to be glorified." Salvation shouldn't change our hearts, but it ought to motivate them too. Shouldn't just change the way we believe in God, but should challenge us and motivate us to really serve this God. Mary, Judas, the people who praised Jesus, the Greeks, the Pharisees, all have made Jesus to say, "This is my time to be glorified. Now I've got everyone in." Whether you are someone who's 100% committed to Jesus like Mary, someone who is struggling to understand like the disciples, or someone who wants to see Jesus like the Greeks, you are welcome on this path to the cross and to the empty tomb. You are welcome to the Easter challenge of the greatest love, the Christ, the people have seen in Christ, the Son of God. This is the Easter challenge for us all. To go through, to reflect on, to pray, to show acts of kindness, and indeed to bring praise and glory to the name that is above all other names, the name of Jesus. And it is that name that will glorify in the end of our service this morning. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name. And the Holy Harper Harmony are going to lead us into this beautiful song. Thank you, Danielle, Renee, Mom and Dad.
Thank you.
Thank you, the Harper family, Renee and Daniel. Wonderful, wonderful voices. Thank you. Lovely song to end our service on. And as you go and carry Jesus into the Holy Week, into the Passion Week, as you continue to worship him and pour your heart out to him, as you might be journeying together and with some misunderstandings in your heart or mind, as you continue to do acts of love, of care, and show God's love to people and mercy, may God, through Jesus Christ, give you his peace. May he fill your hearts with hope, abundant hope in him. May he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in all of us, in all of us, what is good and is pleasing to him, because he is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Lord and Savior. He is the one whom all the glory belongs forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and thank you for joining us this morning. Do stay over for our cup and chat. And we'll meet again on Monday, Thursday at 7 p.m. Remember, it's communion, so come prepare for that. And we'll have a chat and a coffee for that service too afterwards, as we'll have on Good Friday and, of course, on Easter Sunday too. Thank you very much and look forward to catching up with the news.